here. It's a joy. I thoroughly enjoyed the fellowship yesterday and then went down at King's Edition. I had a great day yesterday. God has been so good to me. And as I come here, it's my second time in this church, but the first time it's been probably about 25 years ago, probably more. I can't remember. But to tell you a little bit about myself, my name is Samaru Sakraj. My name tells me that I was born on a Monday. Samaru, it comes from the Hindi word Samar, which means Monday. And my surname Sakraj, it's a compound word of Suk and Raj, which means the king of happiness. And most of the time, I am the king of happiness. And those who are around me would know that I love to kid around a lot. And yesterday was a real blessing for me to be at King's Edition. I know that I was the oldest person there. And that made me deserve all the respect that they gave me. But here I'm a little bit outdone, I see. But nevertheless, I thank God for everything. I am from Trinidad. Trinidad is the last island down the Caribbean. It's just about 7 miles away from Venezuela. Recently, we've been having some Venezuelans. I mean, like hundreds and thousands. They have been coming across to our country, and our economy is already in the pits. And they have become a burden to us, like the those who are crossing the border in America here. And they're becoming a burden to the Republicans, not the Democrats. But I am married, I have a wife, I have 8 children, and the latest addition to my grandkids, I have 17 grandchildren now. Night before, on Friday night, my daughter-in-law in Alaska, she made a beautiful girl. And those of you who might be on my Facebook friends, you would see that I put a picture there, and she's a really, really beautiful little girl. And I'm so thankful to God for, I have 17 grandchildren now, 8 children, and I've been on Trinidad. I was born in Trinidad. It's a small island there. It's a twin island country, Trinidad and Tobago. But I've been there like since 1950. The Lord saved me in 1979. And I don't want to go into details about my previous life to that. At 29 years old, I used to be a drummer in a band. When I was 14 years old, I started to play music with bands. And everything that goes with being in a band, we're talking about the drinking, the gambling, the drugs, and all these things. I've been through that, so I know how to identify with people who are in situations like that. And I've learned from these things never to despise anyone. Because that person who might be a drunkard out there, might be vomiting on themselves, you may have to share heaven with that person. Who knows, that could be a thief on the cross. So, I have learned these things. But the Lord has blessed me, and when I was saved, within about, just about 6 months, I was teaching Sunday school in that church. And then within a year, I was called to preach. So I've been preaching since 1980. And God has blessed my ministry. I've been a church planter. I've been a missionary pastor, and presently I am pastoring a small church, the Landmark Grace Missionary Baptist Church. I am on the island there in Trinidad. I've been pastoring there for quite some time, and I am here in the States really trying to raise some support to purchase a property. That property is just about 3/4 miles away from where we meet. Right now, we're meeting in my home, actually my garage. It's a big garage, and I seal it off and put tiles on the floor, put wall fans on the walls just to make it comfortable. But we have started to experience a little problem in that we are beginning to outgrow that place. And I am Landmark. I mean, I am a Landmark believer. I am a Baptist Sovereign Grace right down the line. That is who I am. I do not go to churches who are not like me. I do not go to churches like that. I do not accept support from churches who are not subscribing to the doctrines that I subscribe to. I've had to turn, now some, I've had preacher friends who have told me that is not a wise thing to do, but those are my convictions. I don't think if I accept support from a church that has open communion, I am associated myself with them, and thereby I am guilty by association with them. So that's why I go to churches only of like faith and practice. I request support from churches of like faith and practice. And if the Lord would move in any way to help, you know, pray about it. You pray about it and trust the Lord with all your heart. And let Him lead in every area. That property that we are looking at is about $80,000, just over $80,000. That is U.S. dollars. In Trinidad, it's $600,000. It's valued that money because they have empty plots of land that are selling for $500,000 just obliquely opposite there. So that's why I'm trying to raise this money so that we can go in. It already has a building on it. It already has a big garage on it. So it's like purchase and move in. There's no work to be done. Unless when we see the need to renovate it and this kind of stuff. So basically that's where we are. And I know that I can't tell you everything about it because it's going to take up on my other time. But how we came about into existence. First we were, when the Lord called me to preach, I was sent out as a missionary by Cedrus Baptist Church. I don't know how many of you, if anybody knows of the Jagannaths here. They had St. Thomas Jagannath and they had Emmanuel Jagannath. They were the ones who actually, St. Thomas Jagannath sent me out with a license. I was a member, though, of Sovereign Grace Baptist Church. Then I did not know that I should have changed my membership, and he should have told me different. Anyhow, later on when I got to know these things, I was ordained by the church in which I was saved in, Sovereign Grace Baptist Church, where I was a member of that church. And after ordainment, I went out by God's grace, started a mission out of that church, worked, mortgaged my house, built up a church building. After we planted that church, I went to St. Croix as a missionary there. I had to get U.S. status to be on St. Croix. South Irvine Baptist Church, at that time Tony Harrell was there. He was the one who, they actually filed for all the documents, and so I was able to go on St. Croix as a missionary, where I planted the only Sovereign Grace Baptist Church on that island. There were 11 Baptist churches on that island. I visited with every pastor. When I talked to them about stuff like alien immersion and that kind of stuff, they didn't know what I was talking about. So I realized that they weren't Sovereign Grace, they weren't really Landmark, nothing. And God gave me grace that I planted the church there. On that island, I suffered one of the most terrible hurts I ever been through. My son, who was 22 years old, he was killed on the road. And we had to drive out every day on the same junction at which he was killed. And we stayed there. I stayed there. That was in 1995. He was killed in 1997. I stayed there till 1999 until I had almost single-handedly, I'm a mason, carpenter, everything, almost single-handedly built up the building. We organized the church. When the church was organized, then I came up to Mississippi. I joined Woodlawn Baptist Church there. And I started preaching in two prisons, got a job with Dell. I was experiencing the American life. And me being a third world person, that was it. I had it made. I was preaching in prisons. I had a good job with Dell. And everything was hunky-dory until the Lord started dealing with me. And I started going to work and crying and coming from work and crying. Because God was dealing with me to go back to my country, to leave all the niceties of America and go back to my country. And I fought it until about 6 months afterwards. I quit my job and I went back to Trinidad, not knowing how I was going to live. When I went back to Trinidad, I sent in about 12 different applications, but with my qualifications, I couldn't get a job. I was too qualified. And I started the ministry there and kept on keeping on until my mom died. When she died, they called me to the church that I had planted, one of the churches I had planted there before. They had no pastor, and they called me to pastor the church. And I told them, give me a little while, let me pray about it. 6 months afterwards, I accepted the pastorate. The pastor who was there before me, he allowed the business aspect of the church to fall flat because if you're a registered church in Trinidad, every year you got to audit your books, and you have to do a report and send to the government, else there will be a fine that will be doubled and doubled and doubled and doubled. And for 10 years, they did nothing. And then we were in a position where we didn't have any kind of money to pay the government, and we moved out of there, and that is how we went to my home. And we've been there for a good few years now, about 7 or 8 years now. And that is where we're keeping service now. Hence, it is important that we get a place. Another reason why I am looking at this is because of continuity. I don't want for, I'm not a young man, I'm 69 years old. I don't want for me to die and something happen. Let's say my family and the church have a dispute and they tell them, get out of there. So that is why I am looking for a place. We have preachers in the church. There's a young man, Christopher Paul. He got into a wreck recently. Some guy shoved in his, the entire back of the car. And up to this morning, we spoke on Messenger. And he said that he's being dizzy all the time. He can handle the pain, but he's getting dizzy all the time. Anyhow, Christopher Paul is one of them. Then I have my son Paul with me there. He helps out with the singing. This morning he would be preaching there. As a matter of fact, they might, in the next 20 minutes, they would be preaching there. But this is basically what I'm doing in Trinidad. I know that there might be questions and so forth. If you want to ask me any question, I'm more than happy to answer them. If I can give you an answer. If it's a doctrinal question, I'd be more than happy to answer you because I know where I stand. Let me tell you a little bit about what I believe. About the true God, there's one true God manifested as the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all being equally God. I can go into details about His sovereignty and all these things, but you won't ask me questions, fine. About the Bible, I use the KJV. I believe that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed those scriptures into those men who were writing. I believe that all scripture, I believe the scripture is infallible, it's inerrant, and I trust God's word. I preach from the KJV. I believe that God has preserved His word in that KJV. I may read other versions on my computer because of wanting to know what they're saying and so forth. But I will never ever preach out of a KJV, out of a NIV or NASB or ESV or whatever V they got. You know, because I honestly believe if God has used that KJV to save me, and He's been, people has been, they're being saved like hundreds of years now with that same thing, why do I have to go and change from it? In other words, what I'm seeing with these new versions, they're attacking the deity of my Lord. I don't like that. They're minimizing sin. There are so many changes that are being found in these new versions. And I don't know how many of you are looking at it. Satan is so subtle. He does not come with total lies. He will sometimes comes with 98% of truth and subtly put in 2% of lies to deceive God's people. Thankfully, God's people really wouldn't be deceived. But this is basically what I believe about the Bible. Right, I believe that the Bible, about creation, I believe in a six-day creation. I do not subscribe to anything like gap theories or these kind of things. I trust God's word, that is what it says, 6 days, and I go for that. That is who I am. About Satan, he was created, formerly a holy angel, and his final destiny will be hell. About man was originally created perfect in the image and likeness of God, but when he willfully chose to disobey God, the entire human race was plunged into sin, Adam being our seminal head, being our federal head. And he chose for us. And so, each one of us were born in sin, shape, and iniquity. We have a totally depraved nature, one that would run away from God rather than to God. We are unable in our natural ways to even understand the things of God. And Jesus said, you will not even come to me that you might have life. And so, that is who we are. And if we do not depend on the grace of God, and that grace of God was actually seen when, before the world was even created, God, He chose us in Him, as we heard yesterday. You can never stop hearing about divine election. These truths are there in God's word and there to build up God's saints. And those of us who are born again, we thrive on hearing things like these. Our hearts are blessed when we hear this kind of preaching. And I believe all five doctrines of grace. That is who I am. I'm not a Calvinist. I believe I'm a Baptist. I believe the things that Jesus has set in order when he called his church together and he organized his church, and not on Pentecost, we're talking about before that, Luke chapter 6, Matthew chapter 4, we go find where the Lord calling out his church here. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:28, first he said in the church, what? Apostles. And he named them apostles in Luke chapter 6. And that is a church that Jesus started in AD around 29 there in the land of Palestine. I believe when Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I believe that. Amen. And there has been a continued existence of churches like that, which the Lord has started. Upon that promise, I'm a landmarker. I believe that Christ gave the commission only to his church. The true church, not all his denominations that call themselves churches. That great commission is within what we would call today a landmark missionary Baptist church. Sovereign Grace, of course, in it. But that is where the great commission is. And the church also is the one who has the ordinances placed within her. The ordinances, I believe that the elements of the ordinances, the wine and unleavened bread. I believe in scriptural baptism, four prerequisites of scriptural baptism. Those are the things that I believe. And I am a premillennialist. I believe in a pre-trib rapture. I know that there are others who have differences. I do not fight with anyone over doctrines. Years ago, I learned that when it comes to fighting over doctrines, you build walls. You make enemies. We are to contend for the faith that was earnestly given to us. We know that. We are to earnestly contend for that faith which was once delivered unto us. But beloved brethren, what I found out is that the teacher of that faith is God's Holy Spirit and not you or me. And while we may try to convince others of truth, we are just to be vessels to say these truths. And if it is within God's will to change that man or that woman, he will. So we don't fight over doctrines. I don't fight with anybody any longer. So this is why I am about these gospel truths. There might be some things I'm forgetting to tell you about hell, for instance. I believe in a literal hell. I believe that those who are outside of Christ's fold, that they will die and go to hell one day. Some of them might be in our bosoms. They might be our own loved ones in our homes. That is what election is about. I have seen, I was born in a Hindu home. And God called me out of that home. And then he called my mother. She died in Christ. And I have other relatives who are not saved. I have children who are not saved. I am not going to fly in God's face because I know he will not do wrong. I believe in him with all my heart. I trust him in everything. And I don't have time to share a sermon this morning here or the lesson I was going to teach because I've been talking so much. But this is who I am. This is who I am. These are the things that I believe. And when I come before you, who you see here, I am that person. I don't change in different churches. For instance, I told you everything that I believe, the things that I believe. Which means, you didn't tell me what you believe for me to bend to that and to tell you, in other words, to become like plastic and mold myself to suit you all. These are the things that I believe. And I trust by God's grace that you will have a question for me, and I'd be more than glad to try to answer your question. So, shoot away, anybody? Sir?
Is Hindu one of the main religions in the Caribbean island?
All right, the religions in our island, we have Catholicism, which is most prominent. Then we have Hinduism, we have Buddhism, they are believers in Zoroaster. There are some who they call themselves Baptists, but it's a conglomerate of Hinduism and the Orisha religion from Africa. The black people, they're mostly in that. So they call themselves Baptists. Our name has a stigma in Trinidad. So that is something we have to actually contend with in Trinidad. But I would have to explain to, for instance, recently, well, I walk every morning since I've had a stent placed in my heart. I'm sick. I use this computer mainly because I have macular degeneration in both eyes. So the computer helps me with the enlargement of the font. But recently in my walks, I saw a guy who was sitting down flat on his bottom there outside his house. And he was really big and strapping. So I walked down to him and I asked him, I said, "Good morning, do you mind if I talk to you about Christ?" And he said, "No." And I talked to him a little bit and he invited me. He told me that he would like to come to church. He's paraplegic, by the way. He couldn't walk. His two legs are done on him. But he's strong at the top. And he's about 6'4", big fella. And I had to go there with my car and push him up a hill to get him into my car. And I took him to church that Sunday morning. And after church, when I was going to take him back home, he said, "Preacher, you never know until you see yourself." So what I gathered from what he had said there is that he had heard about us being Baptists and perhaps had associated us with those quote-unquote spiritual Baptists. So he was leery about coming by us until I talked to him. And now he is a regular person every Sunday morning in church there. By absence, my son would go and bring him to church. So things like that. So, oh, we can go under a tree and keep a service. No problem with the government. We can go anywhere and keep a service. But it's coming because the LGBTs, they are getting active in Trinidad. They are looking at America and everything that America does. They are fashioning themselves after that. It's a sad thing. The people in this country, most of them do not realize that they are quote-unquote role models for third world countries. And it's a sad thing to see what is happening. By the way, I'm Republican. I should tell you all that. I voted for Trump. I was one of them who was contending on the internet about who to vote for. And some of my brethren up here were angry with me. I told them I'm not voting for a pastor. I'm voting for president. And I voted for Mr. Trump. And by God's grace, I will again. So you know my political leaders also. He's not a pastor. I know that. His mouth sometimes is foul. I know that. But look what he's been doing for America. Open your eyes and see, people. I'm not going to put any more politics here. Any question again? Anything about my doctrinal beliefs? Anything? Woman's place in church? I am glad to see that the ladies here, most of them, of course, I believe in covering of heads. That's who I am. I preach it. I have people in our church who do not subscribe to it, but I preach it, and they know it. And to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. So we are not antinomians, so we should try to walk in the way that God leads. And I'm not here to make any enemies, even though sometimes you do when you preach. But that is what I believe about these things. My wife don't even open her mouth in our church. She opens her mouth when we are not in service at me. I've learned there are better ways to commit suicide than to argue with your wife. Some of you guys will find out that. So, any question again? I'm looking at the clock there. It's 10 minutes till 11. So I'm looking at the clock, you know. The first time I preached and a preacher told me about time, Rex Hensley, he said, "Brother Samaru," and he hugged me like this. He said, "Brother, you can have my pulpit for as long as you want. Just take 30 minutes though." No questions again? Anything? But Tom, you told me like 10 minutes before. Yes. You guys want a little break now, right? All right, well, I'm looking forward to preaching the Word of God to you all. I'm a missionary, and by God's grace, that's what I'm going to preach on, the missionary. So, trust in the Lord that He'll work in your hearts. I can't do anything. It's the Lord's business. So I'll just preach and hope for the best.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Superoff.
Well, to God be the glory, brother.
Appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right. We'll be dismissed for a few minutes.